McDermott and Dave.
Conversation, crack,
and the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Today FM.
McDermott and Dave's Ask Me Anything on Today FM.
Introduce yourself.
My name is Niamh Kelly. I'm from Galway and I'm an assistant professor of linguistics at the American University of Beirut in Lebanon. Today FM, Ask Me Anything.
We sure will. Lots of questions have come in from our listeners. Shauna and Bray wants to know, how long did it take you to become a linguist?
Well, I'd done my undergrad. I did that in NUIG in Spanish and psychology. And then I went to the States to do my PhD. So I did that at the University of Texas. So that took 6 years.
Wow. And what exactly, if you can explain the term to everybody so they understand, what exactly is a linguist?
Yeah, there's a lot of misconceptions about what a linguist is. Linguists study language, all aspects of it. So there's a lot of separate subfields. I work in phonetics and phonology, which is to do with sounds. But other people work in structure and grammar and meaning and accents and all of that. So there's a lot of different parts of linguistics.
And if you're working, what kind of work would you do? What's a day look like?
So I'm a professor, so my work is both teaching classes and doing research. And my research at the moment, because I'm based in Beirut, I've been doing research on the sounds of Lebanese Arabic. So I record speakers and then I take measurements using speech analysis software of their vowels and their intonation and things like that.
Wow, super nerdy.
How many languages do you speak? Asks Paul in Clonmel.
Well, I speak Irish, Spanish, German, Portuguese, and I'm fairly proficient in Lebanese Arabic. But it's kind of a lot of linguists don't speak a lot of languages. We tend to be interested in languages, but you don't need to speak a lot of languages to be a linguist. It's not required. We have a joke in linguistics that asking a linguist how many languages they speak is like asking a doctor how many diseases they have.
That's a good way of putting it. Shauna also wanted to know, did you always think you would work in this kind of field when you were a kid?
Actually, no, I wasn't that sure. I always liked languages. I liked imitating accents and I liked learning languages. But it was only when I went abroad to teach English that got me thinking about it, because I worked with a lot of people from England and they used to try and correct my English. You know, like in Irish English, we say things like I'm after eating my dinner.
Yeah.
And they don't say that in England. So they would tell me that's wrong. And that got me thinking about how do we decide what's grammatically correct and what's not. So that's how I got into it.
What is the one linguist mistake that when you see makes your skin crawl, asks Sandra?
This is more a writing one than speaking, but when Americans write patty for Paddy's Day,
oh yeah,
that one gets me.
I know, it gets us all. Though it's not just linguists; it's everybody.
I am a bit of a, I don't know, linguistic stickler. I think might be an apt way to describe me. Tom and Kilkenny wants to know: should Dave me? Should I always try to be grammatically, linguistically correct, or should I let the language evolve? For example, recently we were talking on the show about how brand names have become synonymous with, you know, verbs, and I don't like it. I'm not into it. I don't want to say Hoover. I want to say vacuum.
But even though I pointed out to him that Hoover and Google they're both in the dictionary now as verbs.
Who's right?
Linguists. People also think linguists are judging your grammar, but we're not. Linguists, we're interested in how people really speak. So we're not interested in what you learn in a classroom, because that doesn't always reflect how people really speak. And the dictionary, in fact, is trying to catch up with what people are doing. So, I would be on the side of the language is going to evolve anyway. So it depends on if you want to get left behind or not.
Well, I want to get left behind in the correct way.
I gotta say, Dave learned Latin in school. That's just how behind he is. He still thinks it's 300 BC.
Well, would you?
Yeah, well, the question is, if you're going to be a stickler, how far back do you want to go? Because I was actually looking this up, and Superglue was a brand name. Aspirin was a brand name. Rollerblade is a brand name. Velcro. So these are all there now. I think that most of these would be accepted as general words. A lot of us maybe wouldn't know that these were originally brand names.
So. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. The brand name thing, annoys me maybe 2 out of 10. People who can't use the don't know the difference between fewer and less. That annoys me. 9 out of 10. So they're the kind of things that freak me out.
I mean, I understand that we all have our pet peeves, but language is for communication, and I would bet it's never happened that because someone used fewer instead of less, or the other way around, you couldn't understand what they were saying.
Yeah, but I judge them and then I form opinions about them and I walk away with ideas.
But I mean, this is a really interesting point because, yeah, like I said, we all have our linguistic peeves, but we have to think about where they're coming from. So what has been chosen as the quote unquote standard, it's not linguistically better. It's actually just chosen because it's associated with a group that was traditionally in power or seen as prestigious. So any variety, like in parts of England, they say we was instead of we were, or in parts of Ireland, I hear like I seen instead of I saw. And that's legitimate in that particular variety. And linguistically, we would say that's fully grammatical in that variety if a community uses it.
Okay.
It's important to think about what are these grammatical kind of rules that we've learned. People break them because they're using a different grammar, essentially, which is linguistically equal, but we've picked this kind of arbitrary standard and we compare things against it, even though, like I said, it's not linguistically anything.
You say arbitrary, but I mean, for example, like Americans tend to say, they use the nominative case when they mean accusative case in a lot of things. So they'll say like, oh, thanks so much for coming to this party for John and I. And they think John and I say something, but it's completely wrong. Yeah. It's not John and I, it's John and me. It's literally, that is wrong. I don't care where the language goes, that's wrong. You're using the nominative case.
You're not getting Niamh's point, Dave. It doesn't matter. This is your problem. And she's not judging your grammar. You're judging everyone else's grammar. And you're going to have to get over it.
I don't know.
Yeah, and this is, I have that as my pet peeve as well. I don't like when I hear that. But I also understand that's coming from schooling. It's basically a hyper-correction because in school, if you say, me and Dave went to the cinema, your teacher will always say, no, Dave and I. So basically people have adapted that to any time they want to say me, they're going to put I in. So it's what we call a hyper-correction.
Well, it makes I very angry, Niamh, I'll tell you that much.
Niamh, do you ever study swearing?
I haven't studied it, but it's a very interesting area because there is proof that if you're hurt and you swear, that it actually reduces your pain. Like swearing can increase your pain tolerance.
Irene did want to know, when you hit your little toe on the leg of the bed, did you swear in 20 different languages? But we've kind of covered that, I think.
But the interesting thing is we do tend to swear in our mother tongue. Like even if you speak a lot of languages, if you want to figure out what's your first language, that's a good way to do it, is drop a hammer on your toe.
Whichever swear word comes out, that'll let you know. You mentioned the dictionary playing catch up with the real world and they add words all the time. Scott in Cork City wants to know, have you any predictions on certain words that we will see being entered into the dictionary soon?
I know like recently new words that came in were a lot to do with social movements like allyship, non-binary. And I think Juneteenth is being considered now in the Merriam-Webster dictionary.
Juneteenth.
Usually new words have to.
What's
you know, Juneteenth, this holiday it's now a legal holiday in the US.
It's born out of slavery. Yeah, when slavery finished in whatever year it was, the slavery finished. There was some holiday then, or some. It's a commemoration of that happening.
Yeah. So it's usually new words are often to do with social movements.
Right.
I don't have any specific predictions, but I started watching Succession recently, and in one episode they use pre-kend instead of Friday.
Yeah, that's good.
Which I liked, but I don't know if that's going to catch on.
I love that show. Do you think we'll all be speaking Chinese in 10 years?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think there's an issue with languages being endangered, but I don't think we'll get to the point where the whole world is just using one language. And I think English, we're in the privileged position that our native language is kind of a lingua franca for a lot of the world, but certainly Chinese is getting up there as well, and Spanish.
Yeah, I think the likelihood is the technology will come where we'll just speak whatever we speak, and then in our ears we'll hear whatever we need to hear to make ourselves understood. The final question comes from Carl from Cashel, who might just be somebody who works on our show, who says, why is it that only my friends in Tipperary called a remote a marote? They swapped the M and the R around.
I didn't know that, but this is a feature called metathesis, meaning you switch two sounds. It's quite common. Like, for example, in English, now we say ask, but in Shakespeare's time it was, or maybe before that it was axe, yeah, which is now still in African-American English. So switching sounds like that is actually a common sound change that happens.
Yeah, I'd say it happens to Cathal's friends after a few cans of beer, I would say.
Give us the name of it again.
Metathesis.
Metathesis, Cathal. There you go. When you go down there, you can tell your friends, would you stop metathesizing things there, lads? And they'll give you a slap around the chops. Niamh Kelly, linguist, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye, Niamh.
Bye.
Dermot and Dave's Ask Me Anything on Today FM.
Dermot and Dave. Weekdays from 9 a.m. Today.